In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity. And welcome back to another week on the Catholic Toolbox, the Art of Practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manassa, here on 1701 AM, the Voice of Charity Radio Network, and also live on Cradio Online Radio. As we equip you with practical solutions to live your Catholic faith in our modern world today, on this fine night, we have Akita Sanchez speaking about something which I think all of us are indulging in at the moment since we're at home, which is the love of food. So for the love of food, welcome, Akita Sanchez.
Hi, George. How are you going?
I'm well. How are you?
Good.
So, look, I've been very excited. I had my dinner now, so.
Fantastic. Me too.
Oh, you too? Excellent. So I think we're well fed to speak about this topic now live here, and especially for those tuning in through Cradio Online Radio, so which is Parousia Media's online radio. Don't forget, you can tune in through that particular platform as well, and also through Facebook Live. So those tuning in Facebook Live, don't forget to like the Catholic Toolbox Facebook page. So it's also on Instagram. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram. We are on Instagram. We have a good presence, especially. So for the love of food, let's cook up something tonight, Akita.
I know. We're going to cook something really special for everyone tonight.
Excellent.
So this is probably one of my favorite topics because I just love food. And I think the world shares the same sentiment as me because we've all been baking, we've all been cooking and learning new recipes as we're stuck in isolation, which is always...
I mean, all I see on Snapchat, Instagram, everybody's stories is literally...
They're all just making food. Yeah, that's it. And they're all making that dalgona coffee, that frothy, like, latte. That's all the rage. So everyone's partaking in all these different food trends. But it's, you know, it's something that you can do while you're stuck at home, I guess. So I do understand that. But, you know, cooking and eating is something that I've always done, not just because I've been stuck in isolation.
Yeah, specifically, I mean, there's nothing like a home-cooked meal. There's just nothing. There's something about it. I don't know. It's just something very spectacular. It comes from the heart, and that's definitely very powerful. And I think our Lord in the Gospels, I mean, many occasions we find in salvation history food as the setting, food as the very setting for, you know, communicating theological truths. And that's why getting on top of food itself is a great way to discuss. So let's now open the Catholic toolbox from the teaching of the church. What do we have here, Akita? How, especially in the Gospels, I know you've reflected a lot from the Gospels and Scripture itself about for the love of food. So let's talk about that. Where can we find food explicitly in Scripture?
I mean, I didn't have to look too far, but, you know, I think during the ministry of our Lord and throughout the Easter season as well, it's quite evident that food is a massive thing within the Catholic culture. Well, for example, like, well, even our Lord was Jewish, but I guess in the Jewish culture, it's also a big thing. So my first thing was when I was thinking about how our Lord shared the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he just multiplied it. And, you know, there was so much left over, but he fed the crowd. And I think, that's something that's amazing. Like he broke that bread the first time and he shared it around. Another part, of course, is like something that we hear in all the gospels, which is the breaking of the bread at communion, and that we celebrate at every single mass. So, you know, our Lord did say that he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. So that, yeah. So basically, there's lots of different musical pieces written about the Eucharist. There's so many different prayers, you know, that have been manifested because of it. There's the ritual of the Mass, which was created, and it becomes the pinnacle of it. So, you know, food is a massive thing. It's a common union, and that's why it's communion. So it's something that we all partake in, and it's something that we've all been missing, especially if we haven't been able to go to communion during or go to church in person, especially during this time of isolation. So
Hope and relief tonight, especially as the state government, Glasper Gicklian, has come out and announced that they are slowly easing the restrictions. And hopefully, there is a petition that went around today, and I actually signed it, went out on my a WhatsApp group, which I'm actually part of, which is for the Australian Catholic Bishops Conference, to petition the government that the holy sacrifice of the Mass and communion is an essential. And that we should slowly ease back into our churches as we flatten the curve, and the government is now able to sustain any hospitalizations. The Mass is essential because, as Saint Padre Pio says, it is easier for the world to live without the Son than the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It is easier for the world to live without the Son than the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The Mass, I believe, is what sustains the world spiritually and perhaps physically. The spiritual elements have effects on our physical world. So the Mass definitely is very central. I mean, I had no, personally, I wasn't scared of any kind of coronavirus or getting infected at all for myself. I like to prove myself and push myself, obviously, with the keeping hygiene and keeping everything, but just to push myself spiritually to still sort of make it to Mass. Perhaps, in the car, you park somewhere and you listen to Mass closer to the church. I mean, those little efforts in this time are very pleasing to our Lord. So, truly.
That sacrifice really, I think, translates quite highly to our Lord. I think, you know, during Judgment Day, when God looks at what happened when we were in isolation, like, did you make the effort to pray or did you not? I mean, that's going to get a massive,
Exactly. I mean, there are some tremendous parish priests who've around each diocese who've made tremendous efforts to keep the Mass going as best as possible in a physical setting. Because, as many people asked, let's say going to Mass in our live, it's still not the same. It's definitely not the same. We don't receive the same graces, whether you're
definitely doesn't feel
definitely.
the same as well. Yeah.
So look at. Eating his flesh and drinking his blood are definitely a theological foundation, which includes food. There's something about eating a meal together. There's just something there. I mean, the Mass was the Passover during the when the wrath of God overshadowed Egypt, and as they were celebrating, and the Passover handed over through the Old Testament, the Jewish in Jewish custom, through the New Testament, the breaking of the bread, where it's no longer the lamb. It is, according to the order of Melchizedek, a sacrifice of bread. So there's something about eating a meal together, that sense of communion that brings people together, that communio, which is very strong. I mean, it happens in the breaking of the bread at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we're all united as a community there. And unfortunately, we're not able to do that now, but having a simple meal together outside the context of the Mass, having lunch, dinner, breakfast, sitting on the same table. I mean, we don't often see people anymore sit with their families and have dinner, eat meals together, and bond. There's something bonding about it. It brings people together.
Yeah, and I think that is something that's coming out of this isolation period. That is a good thing. The fact that we're forced to stay at home with our families and eat with them. Hopefully, everybody is eating together for at least one meal a day, or at least once a week. So hopefully, that's allowed you to kind of bond with your family more, especially if that ritual has been lost throughout the years. And it's something that you do maintain and that you try to maintain even after isolation.
And I think, look, this is one of the positive things coming out of COVID-19. Sure, we flattened the curve essentially, and we're essentially back to where we were, you know, every winter in infections. And I mean, I remain skeptical always, but I mean, we're back, we're in a safe spot now, and hopefully we don't become complacent. We can keep it there.
We don't take that for granted. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think, but there's some positive things coming out of COVID-19. In my area alone, I've never seen this amount of people walking a dog, walking on the road, walking with their families. I'm like, where are all these people? I don't see them in my area. It's as if nobody gets out anymore. Nobody plays on the road. That's a positive thing. People are getting outdoors. People are becoming active. Did a 15-kilometer walk on Sunday. I mean, I do that anyway. I mean, I feel like nothing's changed for me during COVID-19. I mean, I'm just my normal ritual, pumping out episodes, pumping out, preparing for the Catholic Toolbox and the Rite of Manhood. For those who don't know, I run a men's podcast, and also women are welcome, called the Rite of Manhood. So you can check that out on every single podcast platform. So the Rite of Manhood, or check it out on theriteofmanhood.com. But continuing working, there's more things that are coming out. Body, people eating together, having dinners together, having those conversations, awkward conversations, reconnecting. Because I mean, you always have kids leave and go, and they never hang out with the parents anymore. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, I'm to blame as well. I'm constantly busy, but it forces us in. I think it's sort of God telling us, you got to reappreciate the mass. You got to reappreciate being with your family. You've got to reappreciate all these things. It's a purifying time. That's why I'm so excited.
Yeah, definitely. And I am as well. You know, it's wonderful to realize that the world is learning how to all also cook for themselves, and to, you know, pick up those skills that people haven't really been honing. Like, they've just been too dependent on takeaway or whatever, but people are learning skills that they would have never had to learn if it wasn't for isolation. Exactly. Which is
exactly.
People are gardening as well, so they're learning how to grow their own food just in case Woolworths runs out. So again, that's another positive. And it, you know, I do have to say, I love it when I do step out into the backyard, and it's so nice to see like so much life happening in the backyard, like a lot of insects, like a lot of bees. You know, it's growing a lot of plants as well. So my next thing is trying to grow an avocado tree, but who knows, how we'll see how it.
That would actually be handy.
Avocados are expensive. And with the rate of inflation, it's only going to get worse. But, you know, that's just something that we just have to try. We just got to try and see if we can live a more sustainable life at the same time.
Yeah, I think the fact that people are working from home sort of raises their awareness, and eating together raises awareness that it's not so bad to be at home with people that we often don't spend. We're always out. We have to eat out. There's nothing like bringing people together over a meal that you cook yourself, that's made with love and brought to the table, and then everybody can share and reconnect together over the day. Maybe let's start before the day, having breakfast. Like for me, I really enjoy having breakfast with my parents in the morning, because that's that reconnection time before, you know, after morning prayer, after the morning ritual. And especially, after my morning prayer mass, reconnecting for that 45 minutes to an hour, depending on the 15-minute time frame. But it really does help, and having some dinner at the end of the day, because during work hours, obviously you're at work. So it's that reconnecting time that it brings people together, and there's grace in there. There's real grace. And God works because he's in the midst of our family setting. That's why there's a special indulgence for praying a rosary as a family together, because there's something that feels different about praying together than praying by yourself. Not that either one is good, definitely getting through your rosary or prayer, but praying together definitely does unite people very strongly. And we have to recognize that during this time, we can make use of it to reconnect, but not to give up and after everything's back, but to continue it. We start habits permanently, just like we spoke about in Lent. We We can't just create resolutions and then forget about it after that. It has to be something which is going to be sustainable for the rest of the year and which is permanent. I mean, to get the most out of any situation, we do have to make permanent changes. So, yeah.
I definitely think this Lent was the toughest, not just on Catholics, but on the entire world. And that's still going. I feel like the whole world is on like Exodus 90, where you prepare for Lent and you celebrate for Easter. So it's definitely massive. And, you know, I do like what you say about having a home-cooked meal and how it just feels like you're just eating food that's been made with a lot of love. And I think that's like, I was reflecting on this as well earlier today, but, you know, the story of the resurrection when Thomas is like, nah, don't believe that it's you, Jesus. And then he broke the bread and then everyone's like, oh my gosh, it's him. Yeah, so, exactly. You know, on that road to Emmaus, like after their big walk, he broke the bread and everybody recognized who he was. And I think that's the same. That's a very similar sentiment to when we eat food that's that feels like we're home. So, yeah. Or food that's so similar to the taste that we had when we were young, and that it brings back all of these memories you had, or maybe something that a meal that your grandparents might have been creating for you, or your parents that were creating for you when you were younger, and that you don't really have access to anymore. And that when you do get to divulge in that, you're like, ooh, all of that nostalgia does come back, and it's something special. It's something that, you know, you really can't just create, you know, you just can't make it happen like forcibly. It's something that's a very organic thing and a very human thing that we do experience as well.
Definitely. If you enjoy listening to the Catholic Toolbox, why not consider emailing us at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com to book your next speaking event or consultation. And we have a promotion that, let me just go through here. Big shout out to Catholic Will, which is a Instagram page. They're online. So big shout out to Catholic Will. Great work for what you do. Also Magnus Catholics in Canada. So big shout out to you guys. Catholics of the world as well. You do tremendous work. Keep up the great work. So check out the Instagram pages, Catholic Will, Magnus Catholics, Catholics of the world. And also just want to raise everybody's awareness that I'll be running a Catholic Toolbox talk at the end of every single month. So we'll wrap up on the topics that I spoke about, the people that we spoke to. We just wrap up on the different topics. So it'll be the Catholic Toolbox Talk, which will be hosted once COVID-19 is over, physically at St. Patrick's Cathedral, Parramatta. That is St. Patrick's Cathedral, Parramatta. But for now, the first one is on the 29th of May. So that is the 29th of May from 7 to 8 p.m. So 7 to 8 p.m. It will be on the St. Patrick's Cathedral Parramatta Facebook page live, and it will also be reflected live on the Catholic Toolbox page. I'll be giving that talk, speaking on a particular topic that we discussed, let's say, through the month of May. So it's starting in May, so we'll recap everything. We have some amazing speakers coming up. We have Bishop Richard Umbers, the Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of Sydney. That is Bishop Richard Umbers, coming live next week to speak about social meme evangelization. That is social meme evangelization. So many of you have noticed Bishop Richard is extremely famous for his memes, his content creation. And we want to get to the heart of what drives it and what's the key to engaging people with the gospel on social media and perhaps through memes if you enjoy making them as well. We also have Deacon Harold on the 12th of May coming live from the United States. And also on the third week, we have Robert Haddad, a local here. And then we have Akita Sanchez coming on the fourth week of May. So we have an exciting month coming ahead. So Akita, let's now open the toolbox and take out the three practical tools for the week. I'm trying to implement living the gospel in terms of seeing food, bringing food into our lives and connecting it to our faith. Often people don't make the connection, and let's now find practical solutions to help them make the connection.
Mm. Sorry, George, can I just say that is a solid lineup for May, and that's going to be a tough act to follow by week four next month. So that's very exciting for the Catholic toolbox.
Excellent.
Yeah, so some of my tools are kind of very, they're very simple tools this week. They're not overly difficult, but they do take some discipline to do. So the first one is to learn how to cook. It might just be one recipe a month, or it could be a one recipe a week, but start off by doing that. Start off by doing breakfast food because I find that it's the simplest food, but start learning how to do that so you understand yourself what it's like to cook food and to know what it's like to prepare the food, and then to kind of understand what it's like when people eat it. So if you haven't cooked food for people before, now is a great time to start doing that. And I think it's very important that, because we eat food all the time, sometimes we don't even think about where the food comes from, but we also have to understand how it's made and the things that go into it. So not only from a nutritional perspective, but I think it's quite important because we need to be able to realize the effort that goes into that and, the methodology that comes into that. So in order to appreciate what you're consuming, you have to learn how to make it as well. So that's my first tool.
Exactly. That is phenomenal because I mean, when you buy something takeaway, it's quick. I mean, you just look at the people making it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's last.
Yeah, they're pros. They've been doing that for years.
I doubt
And
they're
it's
just
from
part
family
of
recipes,
it.
it's handed down.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's something that they're trained to do, but yeah, I think it's very important that you also learn how to cook something yourself. So it could be something as simple as pancakes.
Let's start with a dish and try to.
Start with one and then try and keep learning it until you get to the point where you're confident that you don't even need to put a recipe in front of you. You just know what's going to go into it.
Exactly. Excellent. Let's now go into our second practical tool for the week.
Yeah, so the second tool, it ties in very well with that, and it's learn to appreciate when someone does cook for you. So sometimes people's cookings,
Big
like
one.
people cook and it's not the best kind of food that you might have, but you still have to be very thankful and you have to appreciate the fact that they did try. And instead of just like pushing it away, maybe try. First of all, try and season it with something, like maybe a bit of salt, bit of pepper, that might just fix it. But also, you can also make loving suggestions. So I think it's a charitable act when you try and help someone so that in the future they can make it a little bit better, instead of putting them down completely. So
Exactly. Maybe a good modification as well.
that's right. That's very true.
May not like something, but there's an opportunity for holiness. We spoke last week with Father John Flader about the art of modification. That was actually a very challenging one for a lot of our listeners. Here, I've got a few emails about it. I mean, it's very challenging to live mortification. It's definitely not easy. I mean, after Father John's episode, I can't look at going to the table again the same because. You always remember what kind of modification did I do? And that's a perfect modification where somebody cooks something, you're not a fan of it. You can either say, look, no, I don't want it. No, thank you. Or you can make a comment about it, or you can refrain from doing it, eat it a little bit, or just refrain from the comment. That could sometimes be enough, depending on the context. Or refrain from the comment and even eat some of it. I mean, that's good mortification. It's good sacrifice. And that's that'll yield some good growth. Spiritually.
Yeah, and definitely. And George, we've both grown up in ethnic houses where you have to eat the food and like there's no choice.
Yeah,
So
definitely. Your Lebanese house, I think you better, you have to have a bit of everything, otherwise you can hear about it.
it's the same as the Filipino household.
Yeah, exactly.
You eat or something's wrong. Like, tell me what's wrong. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's now go into our third practical tool for the week. How can we take action?
So the third one, it's a little bit difficult, and it does mean that you have to have a bit more experience in the kitchen, but I like the challenge of hosting a dinner party. So
Excellent.
I find that when you host a dinner party, you really learn how to multitask, and you learn how to try and make sure that everyone is going to enjoy their meal and that it's going to be a nice communal meal that you're all going to be spending time together, you know.
Just
So
envision the Last Supper.
that's one of the ways that you can do it as well. And in the Last Supper, just remember they didn't have any mobile phones to distract them. So
Oh,
maybe
snap at you. They weren't snapped. Oh, Jesus, from the corner of the
Yeah, that's right.
definitely it brings
Yeah, so.
a sense of true communion together. I mean, reflecting on the Last Supper, I mean that would be a phenomenal thing this week to really think about it. Reflect on the Last Supper as the true example of bonding, of coming together over a meal. And that is exemplified in the sacrifice of the Mass, and possibly in the context of a meal. Think about the context of the meal and how it can
And
help.
you now's the perfect time to do that because you can't even have that many people over. So you can start off with your family, and once restrictions are lifted, then you can start trying to host those bigger dinner parties with
They're
everybody
slowly getting bigger. They're slowly getting bigger. I think
around.
Travis said announced 2 people effective as of this coming Friday, the 1st of May.
And your
Two people. We're
children.
allowed to have 2 people over.
Two people and their kids if they have children. Hey, it counts.
Two people. I mean,
Yeah.
I think one person was enough for me. I'm slowly starting to dislike these changes.
Are you becoming an introvert?
No, I've never been an introvert though.
Yeah, it sounds like you're becoming one.
Exactly. And so now we'll get ready for our break as we open the line to call in here with your questions or comments. The number is 9625 611. That is 9625 611. Oh, no fear, email us at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com, all one word, thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com, or in the comment section on the live video, Voice of Charity Australia Facebook page, or go to the Catholic Toolbox Radio Show Facebook page and you can see us live. And I'll be happy to take any comments that go through there once I come back after the break. So this week's giveaway will be revealed to the first person who, not the caller. I'm going to do the emailer to encourage people to email us through. We're trying to get all three platforms. So the first person to email a question this week will receive the Catholic Toolbox mug, which is this week's giveaway. So stay tuned here on 1701 AM. To another week on the Catholic Toolbox. I'm your host and founder, George Manasseh, here on 1701 AM. The Catholic Toolbox is also live for those tuning in with us on Cradio, which is Parousia Media's online radio. So you can go to cradio.org.au, so cradio.org.au, to listen to any of our episodes through their platform as well. So big shout out to those tuning in through Cradio. Be sure to subscribe and download to the Catholic Toolbox podcast to re-listen to any of our episodes through the Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, any platform. The Catholic Toolbox podcast is available. So for those who want to tune in here, make sure, or let's say you couldn't tune in or you missed it, you could always re-access immediately within 30 minutes of the episode. It'll be live straight there up for you. So you can also visually watch us here in studio live now, the Voice of Charity Australia Facebook page and the Catholic Toolbox Radio Show page. Don't forget, also up on YouTube. For those may wanting to make their rite of passage into manhood, don't forget you can also listen to my men's podcast, The Rite of Manhood, available on the Apple iTunes and all other platforms. So check out our website at www.theriteofmanhood.com for more information. So now we have an open line here with your questions or comments. The number is 9625 611. That is 9625 611, or email us here at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com, or in the comments section of my video stream on the Voice of Charity Australia Facebook page. So, Akita, we've discussed basically how to eat better and connect it to your faith, because not many people actually make the connection. I mean, we're looking at it, it's almost unheard of to connect food with your faith on the level that we spoke about tonight. I mean, connecting the Last Supper and connecting your actual meals. I mean, we know the Holy Mass is connected to the Last Supper theologically as the Passover sacrifice, but here we're looking at our meals. How can we
live, let's say, a spiritual Last Supper in our homes? How can we bring people and help people to bond together?
Well, it's as simple as eating together, and having that environment, you know, that's conducive to you sharing about your day. And, you know, it doesn't even need to be a meal. Maybe you're having a coffee with your spouse, or you're just having a coffee to just wind down and relax once you get home from work and that kind of thing. And then just look, maybe even just taking 15 minutes to just sit down and relax and really unwind, you know, no phones, no distractions, and just purely just enjoying your food and savoring it for what it is. And I'm sure that when, you know, when our Lord broke the bread, it was like they were doing the same, that they were all paying attention to our Lord. And, you know, that's why I think it's documented so well in the Gospels, is because they were listening, and they were really paying attention. They weren't being distracted, even if someone was kind of trying to run away before dinner ended.
It's true. Wow. And look, it's very powerful, because I just want to talk a bit more about during this time of COVID-19. The time is going to run out. We got to make the most of it. If we can use this opportunity and capitalize on it to actually grow connection with our family, or whoever we may live with, let's say our roommate or anybody that may actually live with. I mean, if you share a roof with somebody, it's natural to want to get to know the person and connect with that person. I mean, there's something about it, and a meal can definitely help people and bring people together. And eating together, especially if restaurants are closed and you're forced not to, at least if you're not going to cook. I mean, if you get Uber Eats, Deliveroo, any of those platforms it's definitely going to facilitate possibly getting together and having a meal and having conversation. Let's talk about the conversations that can be had over a meal. Let's say with your family, often many things, there are many aspects which you won't always discuss and talk about and open up to each other. And that's where a meal does help. It brings people together. It reunites people. And now you can have that additional person in your house during this time. So we can have two people there.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, if you think about all of the traditions that we have in our culture, not necessarily just ethnic cultures, but you think about Christmas, you think about birthdays, and people are eating, people are dining, and that's the main thing that's bringing people together. You know, like the Christmas presents might have been tough and you didn't get what you wanted this year, but hey, at least the food was good. So at least your day wasn't completely terrible, right? And I think that's the main thing that's, you know, wonderful about this whole COVID situation, is that we are forced to, you know, get to know each other a little bit better. And maybe this year, you know, the gatherings are different. The weddings aren't the same. The birthdays are definitely not the same, especially if your birthday fell around, you know, maybe March until May this year. Mother's Day is probably going to be a little bit different. So
that's coming up too. I mean, we have to show our appreciation for our mothers, definitely.
Yeah. So, yeah, and now's a good time to learn that recipe to cook for mum. So, you know, it's just something that our cultures are all built around. And why do you think there are so many food channels, so many food kind of documentaries that are formed all around the world? And that's because it's the thing that roots people together. You know, a culture might be brand new, like they're maybe only about 200 years old, like Australia is, you know, Singapore is like that. But something that unites the Singaporeans is their love for their food. And exactly. It's something that is really ingrained in their culture, and it's something that you keep coming back to. You know, it's places that might not have their own kind of music that's culturally rooted to them. They might not have things like theater or the arts that root them, but they have their food, because wherever there's people, you need food. So that's just what I
mean. And let's go into a little bit about when our Lord broke bread at the Last Supper.
So obviously he pushed aside the Passover sacrifice, the meal, and used bread. Bread signified the Old Testament sacrifice that Melchizedek offered. So there were many sacrifices in the Old Testament which were offered as prescribed in the book of Leviticus and customarily offered, but there was one priest who specifically in the Old Testament didn't offer doves, pigeons, bulls, rams. His sacrifice or incense, his sacrifice was bread. So Jesus mimicking the Old Testament priest of Melchizedek, and like we're saying, the Roman canon offered the sacrifice of Melchizedek, our father in faith, and sorry, the offering of your high priest Melchizedek. So it's connecting it back to the Old Testament, and our Lord broke bread because bread was a symbol of his body and became his body, and it was broken. So sorry, it became his body and it was broken. And a meal should show our sacrifice as well in it, because there is a lot of sacrifice that goes into making the meal, and the bread as well needs baking. So showing effort in our cooking also can be sanctity in our everyday circumstance. I mean, it says something that you're valued, that there was sacrifice made instead of eating out or buying food. I mean, it's always tempting to order Uber Eats or any other shared economy platform for food, but it's definitely helpful to make sure that we are trying to put the effort in, because it says something to the people that we live with, people that we invite over, the people that we're dining with. So,
And I mean, if you think of bread, it's the simplest kind of form of food out there. It has very few ingredients. It, it's easily made by so many people. It's cheap to purchase. It's something that we take for granted every day. And why did our Lord choose something so simple? Because he wanted everybody to access it, I think. And it just says the worldliness of it. I mean, when the French bake bread, it's insanely amazing. It's so delicious. It's not the same as if it was somewhere else in the world. And that's something that is so special. And I think that really roots it into our faith. The fact that bread is so simple, it's so accessible. It's, you don't have to be rich to access it. It's, it's food for
presence. People will hoard.
Yeah. It's something that you can, that it's just so easy to make. Well, it's a little bit more complicated, but, if you compare it to world standards, but things that are basic, like things like pasta, you can make with just flour and water. Bread, it's very similar. There's flour, water, and yeast if you want it to rise. Otherwise, unleavened, it's just flour and water. And then you just put some heat on it and you've got bread. The very basic kind of food and something that nourishes you. And that's another thing about food, and the fact that the Eucharist nourishes our spirit as well as our bodies. So, with the saints, I remember some of them saying that they were so fortunate to be able to always have the Eucharist in them because they went to daily mass. And that's why they're saints. And they were probably living saints as well before they were even canonized. I don't remember which saint this was. I'm sorry. But, that's something that's very profound about our faith. That our Lord is accessible by bread and by wine, which turns into him. So it's so unique to the Catholic faith that it's become the pinnacle of our faith. It's become so accessible, and it's something that's so special for us. You talk to any Italian out there and bread is something that they eat with every single meal, So
I think a lot of Lebanese people as well. I mean, I'm used to bread a lot of the time. Yeah. I love bread. Bread is the best thing. Pastries as well, especially.
With the Asian culture, it's a little bit more different. Bread is not really our forte. It's more about noodles and rice for us. But nonetheless, it's carbs, right? So it's the thing that nourishes you because it fills you up. And the special thing about the Eucharist is it just doesn't fill you up. It nourishes your soul at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. And I was watching a very famous
food blogger in the United Arab Emirates named Khaled Al-Amri. And he spoke about a good idea that he does usually, him and his wife, in order to bond them together, they don't often order separate plates. They eat from the same plate because it sort of unites people together. And it says something about the other person, the way they eat, if they're considerate. It helps people bond together instead of consuming things. This is my plate. This is your plate. In ancient Mediterranean cultures, and still today, a lot of, and Asian cultures as well, often they share from a few plates and they're sharing together. That is a good way to foster unity over a meal where we can share instead of just having here's my individual plate, here's your individual plate, and you, this is yours, this is mine. I mean, it may not be such a big thing, but it's these small things that facilitate us growing in sharing and bonding with other people whom we live with. And especially great work from Anthony Rahayel, the world's number one street footballer who came here. We did an episode with him on the right of manhood. So if you want to access that, you can go to therightofmanhood.com or download the podcast, The Right of Manhood, and you can access Anthony Rahayel, who's Lebanese, of Lebanese descent. And he is the number one, world's number one food blogger. We did an episode with him. You can re-listen to that. Often that sharing, spreading love through food. Food unites people, and that was his concept.
I do agree with that. I love Anthony's blog. I think if you haven't had a chance to look at it, do so because it brings a lot of joy to people, and you will really see that his happiness really comes through on his blog. But at the same time, when he shares it with other people, these days online. But of course, when he's dining with his family, we can really see how happy he is. So it's a brilliant way to look at it. And George, I love the whole sharing with the one plate thing. It just brings me back to the Lebanese mezza. So I can't not mention that. Like the mixed plate that you get, and you share that, and it's very communal. You don't use cutlery. If you do, you're definitely a foreigner like me, to the Lebanese culture, but nonetheless welcome. The bread is the cutlery, as you've told me many times.
There you go.
The bread can be used for many different things in your culture. For the Filipinos, they love to put sugar in their bread. So,
Yeah, I've many occasions experienced that. I think that's a, it's actually quite tasty when it's done well.
yeah. So they love the sugar, they love the cheese, and I think that's just the extra love coming through with the Filipinos and their bread.
Yeah, exactly. And look, it says something about your character if you eat with consideration for other people when you share a plate. And you learn about each other if you share with certain people. You grow in consideration of other people. Let's say if someone didn't get enough to eat, you leave them a bit more. That little small dynamic often gets overlooked. And these are the building blocks of building a good functioning society. It starts from the home, whether it's with your roommates, whether it's with your family. And as parents specifically, I think it's an important thing to look out for. As Padre Pio says, meals should be simple, meals shouldn't be too elaborate all the time, to foster gluttony. And often, medical culture, it's a good thing to have elaborate foods all the time. But I think every day, if it, the center of every meal is just, oh, how much food is there? That can be unhealthy. It can be, we don't want to become over obsessed with how much we're cooking, but it's the quality, it's the simplicity, it's bringing people together. That's the essence of what makes the meal good.
Yeah, but Padre Pio probably had it pretty good in Italy. I mean, the food there is not bad at all, if I have to say so myself. And the food is some of the best in the world. So
Would have been at a higher standard. His simple meal would have been.
his simple meal is probably our best, like, kind of meal or whatever. The Italians have it pretty good, and they're very fortunate as a culinary kind of country. But there's so many different cultures like that around the world that are just so that have such great food. And part of my traveling, it's not just, for work or for purely to just go to work or purely to to see the churches and the landmarks and go shopping. It's also to sample the local cuisine and to see what it's like, and how food brings people together. So, I really remember in Mexico, and eating food that I would not have usually eaten, like cactus on my tacos. It was just a next level kind of thing for me. But over there, it's a regular everyday kind of staple for them. Having that perfect Mexican food was just insane. But at the same time, they were so happy to share their culture with foreigners. And I love to watch Mexican cooking shows, and they're always just so happy to share the fact that their culture is going out into the world and it's being shared with everyone. So again, that's another exciting thing.
Exactly. And let's now recap on the three practical tools that you gave us for this week. They've been extremely helpful, especially to myself. Might start implementing them. I might start cooking definitely a meal, and making consideration there, because often these things get overlooked. It's just eat what you want, do whatever. We're very relaxed here in Australia. We're very laid back about everything, but sometimes we don't want to throw the baby out of the bathwater. We need to focus on these little elements which help us grow in virtue. It's a small thing, really.
Yeah, exactly. So the first one was to learn how to cook. So George, tell me what you're going to learn how to cook.
I think I'll learn how to cook a pasta dish, because often I'm more of a fan of the bread than the pasta, so it might be a good thing and a creative thing for me to actually learn that. So I might pick that up this week and cook a dish, at least for one or two meals.
Let me know when it's ready. I'll try and sample it. Number two was to appreciate when someone cooks for you. So, George, when someone cooks for you this week, say thank you.
Will do.
And host a dinner party. So, George, let me know when your pasta's ready and when you're ready to host a dinner party. So we'll all go over to your
Due to
house.
the outbreak of COVID-19, I think the term, I mean, I think
One
now
other
everything,
person.
the best excuse now and the big cop out for everything now is due to the outbreak of COVID-19.
Yeah.
So whenever you want to get out of something,
Favorite line out of all of this.
yeah, due to the outbreak of COVID-19. It
Yeah. Well, it's
will be a Zoom party.
the restrictions are lifted from Friday-ish. So let me know when your pass is ready and we'll come and sample it. And I'll try and appreciate it.
Excellent. So that's a third practical tool. Excellent work. Thank you so much. Look, I think it's been tremendous. They've equipped us with these practical things that, from a different angle of seeing meals and eating and food and bring people together. And look, yeah, if you enjoy listening to Catholic Toolbox, why not consider emailing us at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com to book your next speaking event or consultation. If you like any Catholic Toolbox gear or merchandise, support us on our online store. Our online store is at spreadshirt.com/thecatholictoolbox, or you can go to Facebook, go to the live, and click. The link is right there. So it's spreadshirt.com/thecatholictoolbox, or click the link in the live Facebook feed or the link in our podcast feed. So part of all your purchases will go towards supporting the Voice of Charity Radio Network, so we can stay live on air. I mean, for those who didn't know, the Voice of Charity Radio Network is the only frequency Catholic radio in Australia, essentially. So we want to keep the only frequency Catholic radio on the air. So to support us, definitely, and support the Catholic Toolbox page, go to our online store, and part of your purchases will go to supporting a good cause, definitely. So be sure to subscribe to and download to the Catholic Toolbox podcast to listen to any of our episodes. It will be live soon. This one will be up within 30 minutes of this show, about 15, 30 minutes. Give me some time, everybody, and all other platforms. And don't forget, we'll also be live. We won't be live, but it will also be on YouTube. So you can check out our YouTube channel for the podcast archive as well. So thank you for tuning in to the Catholic Toolbox, the art of practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manasseh. God bless. Stay safe and take action. In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith, to reach our ultimate goal,
which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity.